up on TSN.ca, our boy Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, for foreseeable future, and he's already started. He started on Monday. He's been pumping out the five best and worst list in terms of what he's already got out there. On Monday, he had the five best and worst signings in Blue Jays history. Today, he unveiled his five best and worst outfielders in Blue Jays history. And to break those down, he joins us now. Scotty, I look at the top of the list in terms of the best outfielder ever. I don't think it's a shock you've got Batista there, but you got George Bell number two. This feels like a generational battle. The same way Halliday versus Steve has been going on for a long time. If you're under the age of 35, it's Bautista. If you're over the age of 45, it's George Bell. How did you land on Bautista as the number one best outfielder in Blue Jay history?
Well, you nailed that. I got into this process, and I realized pretty quickly and got a lot of the feedback over the last couple of days, and that's exactly what it is. This is depends when you were born, depends which teams really resonated with you and players, and it depends what how many gray hairs you got in your beard at this point. And that was every single list trying to look through this. And really, Bautista, I mean, the way I looked at the list, I did outfielders, infielders next week, and then we'll get to that Halliday Steve conversation 2 weeks from now. But I really looked at statistical production, obviously, first and foremost. Then I looked at just how good those teams were that they played on, and you know, really how much they contributed to winning. And the fact the last one was kind of a Heisman Trophy thing, the signature moments. And then when you combine Jose, he's got 36 WAR over his career, the best number in terms of that, in terms of outfielders, and it's not even really close. And then you think of the signature moments and what he meant for that era of coming out of essentially two decades of irrelevance into 2015, and what that team meant to this franchise in terms of getting back and finding some sort of success in terms of at least getting to the ALCS. And when you look at what he did for this franchise and how he arrived here and a couple of the seasons he put up right in the middle of his prime, it was really the only choice.
Any backlash from gentlemen like Jesse Barfield or Lloyd Mosby, Devon White?
Not yet, but people have been tagging Jesse Barfield in the column, wondering why he's number four. But hey, if you're number four on a list of outfielders over 43 years, I think you're doing all right. And
Did my guy Devon White make it?
He did. He's tied for number five. I had to put those.
Yes, Scotty.
Devon White, Lloyd Mosby. When you look at White, Mosby, Barfield, Bell, Carter, I mean, you could really jumble those in any sort of way. And if you don't really, if you're not into WAR and analytics, you probably jumble Bautista into that as well. So it's not an easy process, and it definitely kind of takes, you have to step back from the analytics, because when you look at Joe Carter, you kind of realize that, you know, the argument between analytics and traditional stats, you start to see it when you put together these lists, because while Bautista was, by far analytically the best, Joe Carter was by far analytically the worst at any of these guys. And if you're putting together a list of best outfielders in Blue Jays history, I mean, it's not complete without Joe Carter, but the analytics weren't there, but the signature moments and the impact he had on those clubs would definitely was.
Well, yeah, the most standout moment in the history of the ball club was the Carter home run. And if we're, yeah, Bautista's bat flip is significant. I think it's probably
not even close.
But it's not even in the same ballpark. Game five of the ALDS doesn't count, you know, anywhere close to a walk-off in the World Series. But I think you bring up an interesting point about the analytics based on the old school value, because I've been watching a lot of the throwback stuff recently. And I think there was a 6 or 7 year stretch, late 80s into the early 90s, where Joe Carter had more accumulated RBI than anyone else in baseball. Like he was Mr. Runs Batted In. And now that's been completely devalued because of analytics and sabermetrics. But he'd hit bombs and he'd hit people in. And that counted for a lot at that point.
Exactly. And you and I grew up in the same era where we remember the term. He's a great RBI man. He's a great run producer. You don't really use those words anymore because we know runs are, you know, created differently. And the fact that if you're a run producer, that just means you're hitting in the spot in the order where you tend to have guys on base and you tend to have good hitters ahead of you getting on base. So, you know, everything's changed. And it's interesting when I did go through this process and you mentioned how the walk-off home run by Joe Carter doesn't compare to the bat flip, and I completely agree, and I have two separate things. We have best games and best moments, and I had to separate those. What is the best game? What does the best moment mean? And Bautista, that game, by far one of the best games in franchise history. The Joe Carter touch them all, by far the best moment in franchise history. So just kind of working through this, and you look at the numbers, and you look at what they did, you look at their signature moments, and then you kind of piece it together. But it's an interesting process, and it definitely, people that read this, it's all when you grew up and what you watched.
Let's talk about some of the worst, Scotty. Let's talk about the guys we love to rip on. Who's the worst outfielders out there?
Well, I cheated a little bit. I had Danny Ainge as the worst outfielder. He was technically an infielder, moved around, 89 starts at second, third, short, played 29 games in the outfield. But, yeah, I mean, this guy made the smart call to hang up the cleats for the sneakers and then move to basketball. And, you know, he was in an interesting spot because he was still 20 years old playing hoops in college when he was playing for the Blue Jays. But when you look at players that took 500 trips to the plate in all of franchise history, he's got the worst weighted runs created plus of 43. And when you look at that number without context, you say, what does that mean? Well, 100 is league average, and he was a 43. And you don't see many of those guys last for a week in the major leagues, let alone three seasons.
Yeah, just dumping on Danny Ainge. But it's a famous picture, right? Like, it's one of the more famous pictures of the 70s is him in the baby blue uniform because what he became, you know, like a great basketball player and now a really highly respected executive. He's still running the show in Boston. And it's almost like if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Celtic fan, you probably, I'm not even sure how many people would have any idea he played Major League Baseball.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of those in baseball. I mean, you know, Tom Brady being drafted by the Montreal Expos. You know, baseball is interesting just because of how many rounds there are. And, you know, back then it's totally different. But there were some rough outfielders throughout the years. And, you know, I don't think anyone's going to remember many of the names, but that's definitely one that they will.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. So Jeff Passan, ESPN, had that wild report earlier in the week that baseball is looking into the idea of setting up shop in Arizona, all the players, all the teams, all the personnel, and trying to self-isolate as a sports league within a bubble of 8 to 10 different parks, and trying to play as early as May, if not early June. If media is included in that biodome, would you put your hat into the ring or what, Scotty?
I'd have to talk to the people above me for that one, but we'd also have to talk to Border Patrol, see if they'd let me through. But, you know, I'm all for it. Go sequester me in 100-degree heat. I would hate my life, but, hey, there are worse things. So, you know, I think when you look at that report, the important thing to remember is this is just an idea, not a plan. You know, very, very, very preliminary. Easy to poke holes in it right now when you look at the report that Jeff put out. And, you know, I think I commend MLB on one hand for trying to think outside the box, trying to make sure they're, you know, not missing anything. And everyone's in an unknown right now, no matter, you know, if you're just a guy like you or I or a sports league trying to figure out what you're going to do with a multi-billion-dollar operation. And, you know, that was kind of bandied about right when all this happened, I guess, a month ago or so. And there's 13 potential stadiums in Arizona. I've been out there for the Arizona Fall League every year, and it's a great setup. It's better than Florida and the Grapefruit League. They're all within kind of 90 minutes of each other. But you run into a ton of problems. There's a reason the Arizona Diamondbacks play in a stadium with a retractable roof, because it's the average temperature in Phoenix in June is 104, 106 in July, 104 in August. You know, they can only play at Chase Field for one game, so you're going to be using these spring training sites, and you're going to have to work through that. And, you know, that's before you even get to what they're going to have to do working with the league and the PA to get these players to go there. And talking to a couple of players, you know, they seem to be open to this idea because, A, they want to get paid, and, B, they would love to be that sport that, you know, provides an escape for people. And I think that's what everyone is looking for these days. Whether it's realistic or not, I would say no, May, definitely not. I'm looking mid-June, July for sure. But it's interesting. I think they're trying to look at this not so much for the dates, but more for the logistics of, hey, if this is still going on in June or July, maybe this will be an option.
The best and worst list, they're up on TSN.ca. Every couple of days, a new one goes up. Great stuff, buddy. Stay safe. We'll do this again soon.
All right, fellas. You guys, too.
There he is, Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Yeah, that'd be an interesting cover. I mean, that would, because there's, I would assume media would be included in that whole experiment down in Arizona if it comes to that. And covering that would be just so unique. You know, you're down there on your own, your hotel to the park, back to the hotel, back to the park, back to the hotel, tested as a media member just to knock out basically game summaries.
Yeah,
that'll be weird, but there will be members of the media down there if and when that happens. I would have to assume that will definitely be the case.